Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this episode of Southern Onion Podcast. So happy you're here with us. I'm Erica.
And I'm Erin with the cool shirt.
Yes, you do have a cool shirt on today. Talk about
it. I do. Yep. It's the Beatles. It's Lennon and McCartney, and it says, "Come together right now over me."
Yep.
And it has a rainbow on it. And
yep.
It's a tank top. I love it. It's comfortable.
It's a happy shirt. It's a happy, cool shirt. And
it is, yeah.
You're getting the best of both worlds. You're spreading positivity. Yeah. Sun's right. Out, guns out, you know?
Right.
Doing
and
great.
I love the Beatles.
So. Yes, you do. You have. Your whole life.
I know. Golly. I have a John Lennon doll. I do have a John. A friend bought it for me for my birthday.
Or is it an action figure?
No, it's an actual doll. It's a cool looking doll.
Yeah.
It really is. Has a guitar and everything.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, you'll have to, we'll post a picture of it on our Instagram page so others can see what it looks like as well and be jelly.
Yep. But I refuse to get it a Yoko Ono doll. I'm afraid it will, you know.
It'll break up the collection.
Yeah, it will. That's what I'm afraid of.
Oh,
so.
Lord, Erin. Yeah.
That's my joke for the day. Thank you.
Yeah, so. Ba-dum, boom. Tip your witcher and waitresses.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, no. Well, we are so excited you all are back again with us for this week's episode. Interesting case. Not super, you know, a lot to it, but we learn a lot about. And again, it's Susan Smith that we'll be talking about today. And so some interesting facts that we have, and I've got some, and I know, hard to believe, I have some thoughts about this and why she possibly did what she did. So we'll be peeling back the layers on that. Again, everybody, thank you all so much for the support. If you haven't already, give us a follow, a like, leave us a comment. Also, that way when we have a new episode that comes out, you'll get notified. You won't have to look us up. It'll just come across your little notification screen and you'll be like, oh, there, those twins are at it again with a new episode. And spread the word. Tell your friends, and we really appreciate it. Thank you again so much. You can follow us, if you haven't already, on Instagram at Southern Onion Podcast. And if you'd like to reach out to us, our DMs are open. Or you can email us at southernonion2@gmail.com. So, business out of the way, right? All right, Erin. So, it's been a week.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just felt like a long week this week. Like, it wasn't, but it was.
Yeah.
I think it's the heat.
Like, it probably is. Yeah.
I mean, people who like Florida weather, I have respect for, because I can't stand it. I need 50 degrees in the evening. Yeah. You know, I need a little chill to just calm down. And it's not been that here where I live. It's just been hot and then hotter. And I don't like it. So what'd you get into this week?
Well, I've been watching a new show.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Dr. Death, and it's on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 8 episodes. It has Christian Slater in it, and Alec Baldwin, and Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, yeah, and Joshua Jackson
and
Dawson's Creek.
Yep, it's really good. It's the story of Dr. Christopher Dunch out in Texas, and how, you know, our healthcare system, I think, failed 33 patients because he was an incompetent surgeon, to say the least. But I don't want to get too much into it because we may do a podcast on this.
Yes. It's an interesting case.
Yeah. But it's really good. So if you get a chance and you're like, hey, it's hot outside, I want to stay in, chill in the air conditioner and watch that. I mean, you can definitely binge watch it. It's really good.
Yeah. Pop some popcorn or get Twizzlers, whatever your snack of preference is. And get to watching it. So I've just started watching it myself, and
it's really good.
I've listened to it on another podcast, and whew, boy,
it makes you really question things.
Well, yeah, and if let's see, disclosure here: if you are already nervous about having surgery done and medical stuff, don't listen to.
No,
it's not going to help you feel better.
Right. If you have an upcoming back surgery or neck surgery,
don't
listen to this. This is no.
No, just pass it. Yeah. Do it after. You'll be fine. I promise.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But
So what have you been into this week?
oh goodness. So, of course, I've talked about it 100 times. I travel for work now, and I got to be at two different offices throughout the week, met a lot of people. It's great. People are getting excited about just summer school starting back, but driving a lot in the heat. I don't know. I'm
Yeah.
delicate like a flower. I mean, I don't like driving in the heat.
Yeah, I don't either.
I need a car where I can sit at the desk and like start it like 10 minutes before I go in. That way the car is nice and cool.
There you go.
So Ford, because I'm a Ford girl, if you would like to, donate a car to me, I'll be glad to drive it and, tell you all about it. Not the new Bronco though. I'm really not impressed with the new Bronco or the hatchback Mustang. Let me just go ahead and
Ew.
be picky about it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know. I was like, give me an Escape. Give me an Expedition. That's what I want.
There you
I'll take
go.
it. So, any Ford people out there, you got connections, hit me up. I'll be glad to help you out with that. But no, other than that, just hanging out and watching golf and baseball and the NBA finals, because that's really the only part of the NBA season I watch, honestly. So that's been getting exciting. So
There you
not
go.
too much to report this time around, which is
That's
good.
okay.
I'm fine with that.
Definitely.
Okay, so we are now in the time of year where schools are getting ready to start back here in a few weeks, and the mandated time for people to be in school is coming to an end for seniors in high school, right? So it's very interesting because people will go and get their Okay, so of course we are at the moment in school where seniors are now getting their senior pictures taken, and it's when we were in school just a few years ago, like what, 5, 6 years ago.
Sure,
Yeah, we're gonna go with that. The school did it, and you had maybe two or three poses. I think mine was up against a tree. I sat in a director's chair with my chin on my hand, like I was thinking about something, and it probably was, where am I gonna go eat after this? And you had like your casual outfit, and then you had your standard, where guys wear a tux and girls wear a V cut, what looked like you were in a dress, but you weren't,
Right, yep.
Lord, there are people that go out, excuse me, outside of school and get like professionals to do
Yeah.
those pictures. And they're spending like $1,000 on it. I don't
Wow.
understand this
Oh, yeah.
because I don't know about you, but I have never used my senior picture on my resume or to help get me a job.
No, never. I
Just
don't even know where they
saying.
are. I don't even know where they're at. Yeah.
Right? And that's
Yeah.
okay. But
Yeah.
I don't get why people are spending $1,000 to
Yeah.
get the senior pictures taken, But
So.
we were talking before we started recording about driver's license pictures.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
in my job, I have to make copies of people's photo IDs and stuff. So I see a lot of license, and some people are smiling and some people are not, and some people look like they were in a half sneeze, when
Right.
it was taken. And it's really
Right.
funny. And when I've had the last one I had done, she was like, "Well, you can smile if you want." And I was like, "No. If an officer pulls me over, I'm not going to be smiling,
Right. Right. Yeah. Mine, like, I always had the best of intentions taking the picture.
Sure.
And then when you're sitting there waiting for them to click it, it's like I just become dead inside or something. And then it just looks like a blank. It's almost like, I don't know. I
You're
can't.
void of all thought.
Yeah, it's sort of like take the picture. It's like you missed the moment, lady. You missed the
Yeah.
moment. So.
I'm pretty sure Cindy Crawford and Sofia Vergara are like the only ones
Oh
with
yeah.
really good driver's license pictures,
Probably.
The rest
Yeah.
of us just try for second. I
Yeah.
mean,
Yeah. At least my eyes are open. That's as good as it's gonna get. So.
exactly. Well, too, and like if you have a passport, you can't smile in those pictures. So, you know, but anyway, it's just, you know, the things we do and go through
That's right.
for just to capture a moment, you know, I mean, 'cause some of those senior pictures, like, and if you had this pose taken, please do not take offense. But, you know, if you're sitting on the back of a rusty pickup truck, well, does that mean you're going into mechanic school? I mean, why are we doing this? Have you had your tetanus shot? Those are my questions when I see these pictures. You know, not, oh, they're so pretty or they're so handsome or, you know, whatever. I'm just like, did they get cut on there? Did they have their tetanus shot? You know, me, the ever worrier.
I know. Yeah, mine
Yep.
was in a gazebo.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah.
Mine was just outside exposed to the elements. Pretty sure I had to put sunscreen on.
I remember those days.
Right? Those were nice days. You didn't have to try on your clothes before you bought them. Yeah, and I can see people are shaking their head. Yeah, I remember those days too, you know. Oh, mercy. All right. Well, we hope everyone else has had a fantastic week. Again, thank you so much for joining us. So now, let's get to peeling back the layers on this onion of Susan Smith. Now, Susan Smith was born September 26, 1971, so she's 49 years old today. The crime that she committed was in October, or was on October 25th, 1994, and she confessed to her crime on November 3rd of 94. So for, I think it's what, 9 days, she let, and again, I remember seeing news updates on the news here where we grew up, and Susan had claimed that a man had carjacked her car, her van. It would that, and she said it was a black man, and that he had carjacked her car with her sons inside, and she just wanted them returned home safely. You know, had the police department, search crews. She's crying. I don't know where my children are. Her husband at the time was also distraught, not knowing where the kids are. And then 9 days later, she finally confesses that, yeah, I actually, they were strapped in their seats in a van, and I let the van roll into a lake with them in it. And she walked away. And, you know, it's sad because I don't know, you just kind of think of moms in a different way that they would never hurt their children. But unfortunately, it does happen, and that's what happened in this case. Where she murdered her two children. And her children, the two children, she had a 3-year-old named Michael and a 14-month-old named Alexander. Those were her two children. I mean, very young. Not, I can't imagine they were doing anything. You know, they were probably just like, yeah, we're on a car trip with mom, you know, and this happens, which just makes it tragic because they're so young and innocent. I mean, that's what makes it sad for me. But now, with and we'll get into her life and then the court and everything after. But her defense attorneys were I have David Brooke and Judy Clark, and the defense that they tried for her was that Susan suffered from mental illness that impaired her judgment when she committed the crimes. That was the defense, that she didn't know what she was doing when she did this, that she was suffering from a type of what, temporary insanity, I think is kind of the case that they used in court.
Well, and she was suicidal, but she was competent to stand trial.
And she did, and you know, of course, and we'll get into it in just a moment, her conviction and then also her sentencing with it. Now, you know, because my thing is, I always want to be like, why? What would lead somebody to do a horrific act like this? So when I was digging around and what I could find about Susan, you know, Susan, when she grew up, she did not have a very stable home life. When she was 6, her father had committed suicide. So right there, that early in life, and you're already starting off with a tragedy and a loss. Now, Susan herself tried to commit suicide at age 13. So the mental illness is there, obviously. And I can only imagine. I couldn't find out if she witnessed her father passing or if this was just something that happened and, she just lost her dad at an early age. Now her mom did remarry. Her mom eventually remarried to a man named Beverly Russell. And Beverly is a member of the local chapter, and this is South Carolina, a member of the local chapter of the Christian Coalition. So, for those who do not know, the Christian Coalition was created in 1987 by religious broadcaster Pat Robertson, or you might know him better from the 700 Club. That's him. It's made up of several Christian denominations. 50% Baptist, 25% mainline Protestants, 16% Roman Catholic, and 10 to 15% Pentecostals. Now, he funded this with funds that were left over when he had an unsuccessful bid for the United States presidency.
Oh, wow.
I mean, obviously, if you go for president and don't get it, you should absolutely start your own Christian coalition. I mean,
Right.
right? That's what they all do. Politicians and church hand in hand, right?
Right,
I
yep.
mean, no one's ever heard of separation of church and state, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So this guy, and the reason why I give that background is Beverly Russell molested Susan Smith when she was 16. And I looked up the laws in South Carolina. And obviously, at 16, you are not of the age of consent, so it is illegal. And if the person who commits the crime is more than 15 years older than the victim, it like goes up to a different level of felony.
Wow.
So here you've got her dad's passed, she's harmed herself. Now mom's remarried, and this has happened to her by the stepdad. So Susan, and I don't, I have so much about this. Okay, so Susan and her mother allegedly, and I say allegedly because I don't know what Susan thought, but Susan and her mother chose not to press charges against Beverly when she was 16. This infuriates me because I feel that if this crime happens, your parent, if they decide, oh, I don't want to press charges on the child's behalf, I still think that the state should still be able to prosecute because it's a violation. It's a crime against a child, and how are we not protecting children?
And one
Right?
could say that's foreshadowing of what Susan did.
Exactly, because all this harm that's happened to her, and then here we go, a failed justice system. Because why are we not protecting the children? Of course, the mom is gonna, well, not of course, but in this situation, the mom decided not to press charges. But why? Why
Right.
would you not be so infuriated? See, I can't even talk now. Infuriated that your child is harmed by this man you allegedly love, who's a big to-do in the Christian coalition there, and this is what he does to your daughter, and you're just like, "Man, we'll pass on pressing charges." And they're still married. Are you serious? How can you be married to somebody that's hurt your child? Whether it's a stepdad or stepmom, how can you be married to that person knowing they hurt your child? I don't get that. I don't get it at all. But here we go. I mean, children harmed, not being protected by the justice system, children harmed in a sector, whatever, of church. Why? Because I keep seeing this repeating pattern, like you said, where it's foreshadowing, maybe, where these kids are hurt. Eileen Wuornos, Dorothy Puenta, no, Barraza. Barraza, the serial killer in Mexico, where her mom sold her, for three beers. And it's these kids, not being protected by their parents or the justice system. It's just sad, because And we'll get back to during the sentencing trial because old Beverly comes up again during the sentencing phase. And I'm just like, go away, dude. Seriously, go away. You've done enough for sure. But yeah, so that's what I found out about her home life. And I mean, you just can't imagine the effect on a 16-year-old. And that your mom says, no, let's not press charges against your stepfather. You know? So things are going to come out now during the sentencing phase where I think this plays a impact on why she did what she did. What she did was horrible, but you almost can understand, well, she probably wasn't in her right mind because a lot of things have happened to her in her young life, you know. So that's what I have about her background. So she confesses in November, I lied about the carjacking. I had the kids strapped in the seat. I let the van roll into the river. So now she goes to court, right? What did you find, Erin?
Well, I'm going to back up before we go to court and do all
Sure.
that stuff.
Yeah.
Because let's talk about the actual day in question. October 25th, around 3:30, she was at work. She was a receptionist at a place called Conso. And so she, at that time, was dating the owner's son. And his name is Tom. And at this time, she was married to David Smith, but they had separated. And so she was distraught because Tom had broken up with her. And, it was brought up that Tom was like an eligible bachelor in Union, South Carolina. And, he had some money and all that stuff. So it's like, hey, So anyway, she goes to pick up her children from daycare, Michael and Alex. And she gets home about 6 o'clock that night. She feeds them some pizza and she's hanging out with them. She calls her friend and she says, hey, is Tom at this local bar that he hangs out? And the friend's like, no, he's not here. She's like, okay. And she's, according to this documentary I watched, she was just desperate to get back with Tom. And so about 7:30, 8 o'clock, she puts the boys in the car and she's kind of driving around allegedly to her. To clear her head and all that stuff. So she claims that she came to a red light, and when she was at the red light, a black man carjacked her and had her drive around kind of all over the place and ends up having the car, her to stop the car, tells her to get out, and he takes off with the kids in the car. And she runs to a neighbor's house in that area and has them call 911. And that's when this all kind of started, where my kids have been taken. I don't know what's happened to my kids. She's on television hysterically crying. Mommy loves you. Stay strong. David, the father of the children, he was there standing right next to her.
Right, because he didn't know.
Believing. But the police, they started to figure things out a little bit about her. Stories weren't adding up. Like, for example, when she said she stopped at that red light, they were like, well, there had to be another car there because that would trigger the light to turn. And then she said, okay, there was another car there. So she was kind of like, it was like a chess game. It's like they made a move, she made a move. So they couldn't really get her at that point, but they started, she took a lie detector test, she failed it.
I wonder why.
So it was like, okay, something is really going on here. And people, even the reporters started to figure out maybe the mom has done this. And of course, her and David got on national TV and was like, oh no, well, I didn't do anything. I love my boys. I would never do something like this. I just want them to come home. So she stuck with. So, I mean, she stuck with the lie for 9 days. And would you could tell on TV though when she was crying. I mean, there was no tears.
Oh yeah, crocodile tears, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like I wasn't really buying it at all.
No, and I think it's sad because she didn't just say a man carjacked. She said a black man, as if, Oh, well, of course, it was a black man that did this. You know, it's like, oh, how dare you? You know, that, that's not okay.
And the composite that she gave was so generic, it could
Right.
match anybody.
Sure.
So, and that's when the police started thinking, this could match at least 70 people that they knew. So it was like, this is not adding up. This is not, this is, she's lying. She's lying. So.
Exactly. So then when she says this, and like you said, found out, oh, she's got a boyfriend. Oh, well, now we're starting to get some motive. And I think that's when police really started pushing in on her and being like, hey, wait a minute. You need to start coming clean about things.
So she did, like you said, on November 3rd, she did she broke down like behind a church. There was like a rec center, and she started to tell the story of what she did to her children.
Ugh, I can't imagine being that detective and that person taking, this statement of of her confession, what she did.
So the children are at the bottom of John D. Long Lake. And so divers come out, and sure enough, they find the car. And they, what was so sad, there was a little hand pressed up against the window
Ugh.
of the car of one of the children.
Wow.
So, but so of course they ask her, why did you do this? And she said, well, I was suicidal. I planned to kill myself and my children. She drove out there and she let the car roll, and then she pulled the brake on it. She gets out and then she releases the brake and lets it roll on in.
Yeah, and those kids had nothing to do with it,
No.
nothing.
No.
That's what I don't get that.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, why were you suicidal? And I think that's the question. And like you said, there is a boyfriend or ex-boyfriend that she was running around with. And, it was, he had written her a letter breaking up with her. And one of the reasons he said was because he did not want children.
Oh,
He's, I'm
another
sure your
motive, yeah.
children, yeah, I'm sure your children are great, but I just don't want children.
Yeah, and it's sad to think that a married woman would harm her children for a for a unmarried boyfriend. And there's 7 billion people in the world. Come on. You can find another one.
There's plenty of fish
Oh,
in the sea, lady.
exactly.
She had a husband she was separated from. It's like, maybe you need to like figure that out
Yeah, exactly.
and then think about having a boyfriend.
Well, that, and if she didn't want the children, why not say, look, I'm not going to fight custody. You can have the kids. I mean, she didn't have to do that. I don't. Where do you get to a part in your life and you think this is the only way? This is the only solution? I don't. But I guess that's part of the mental illness. You're not going to see the whole picture or both sides of things. You're looking at your situation and what you consider obstacles only,
But like they had said in court, that she had enough sense to get out of the car and she was able to change her mind. But her children didn't get to change their mind. I mean, they didn't get to change that mind too. I mean, they were stuck in the car. I don't know what kind of a parent would sit there and know that your children are going to drown, and you're just like, oh well.
Well, I got
and
a
then come
boyfriend.
up and like, they said this was obviously proven that she knew right from wrong, because as soon as she did this, what'd she do? She started lying.
I started covering it up.
She started saying, oh, some guy carjacked us, and all this. So it's not like she didn't know what she's doing was wrong, but she got to change her mind, and those poor children.
Didn't, yeah. And for what? For mommy's boyfriend, That's what gets me, and it was pretty much an open and shut case. I mean, I think the biggest thing of her case was the sentencing. Was she going to be put to death? And and People magazine and all the media outlets, because we're talking about 1995. The internet is not widely available like it is now, and even then it's still not available to everybody. But But you know, so you're getting your information from people and the local newspapers and USA Today and all that, and just how divided people were. Should she get life? Should she get the death sentence? Should she go to a psychiatric ward, you know, and serve her time there? And it was a very divided about it and what to do and what punishment she should get.
I agree. I mean, so the case is, you know, did she do this for boyfriend because the kids were in the way of her being with Tom, or was she suicidal and decided I'm going to kill me and the kids, and then she thought, no, I don't want to do it, but then went ahead and killed the kids. It sounds like to me, just from what I saw, it sounds like this was the boyfriend situation. I think she liked Tom. Tom was rich. Tom was an eligible bachelor in the community. Hey, this would have moved her up. I mean, and then he broke up with her, and they said she was just so upset and so distraught over this. And it's like, you know, and now all of a sudden she, you know,
Do we
puts her kid
know,
in the lake.
did you ever, I didn't see it, but the time between the breakup letter and the crime, do we know when that was? How
From
long
what
that
I
was?
under from what I understand, he broke up with her that day, October
Okay.
25th.
And she did it that day. Okay.
Yes, that evening. So that's yeah,
I
according to
mean,
the documentary, that's what happened, that he broke up with her, and it, you know, she was devastated.
Sure. Well, and I mean, they're always usually in a breakup, one party is more devastated than the other.
Sure.
But still, I mean, you're in, because she was what, 20 or
20.
so?
She was 23 when this
Yeah,
occurred.
23. So, I mean, still almost at the age where your brain's fully developed. So, still wise enough to be like, you know, I'm married. Yes, estranged from my husband, but I'm married. I have children. This isn't the end of the world because a boyfriend doesn't want to be going with me anymore, going steady, whatever. But yeah, I mean, that's just, oh, but then you wonder, has she been looking for an out with
Well,
her kid? I don't know. I mean, again, devil's advocate here. We don't know. We'll never
sure, but
know.
she's never really come forward and said the reason why. And that's why, to me, it's like, until Susan tells us the true reason, I mean, I can't. I
We
mean,
can only
should she,
speculate,
right? And then should she even get out? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know.
Exactly. Well, and the reason I asked that is because, you know, during her sentencing, old Beverly Russell shows up again at the sentencing. And he f absolutely everybody knows he molested Susan at 16, and that mama didn't want to press charges against him. So he shows up again, and during Susan's sentencing, he states that him and Susan had consensual sex 2 months prior to that happening, to the crime being committed. Now, I'm like, what? What? Okay, first,
Girl,
ew, disgusting.
right,
Second of all, right, but here's more of, okay, what, she was in a downward spiral, and I think the breakup is what, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, right?
Liz, I mean. Well, that and that's a curious thing, because when she was 16, Mama and her said, let's not press charges. But you're 23 now, and you're a consenting adult, and you get to choose who you have sex with or not. And it was, and he, it wasn't like before where she's 16 and can't give that consent and didn't give that consent. She gave the consent.
Well, and that's the thing. Is
That's,
it a
yeah.
victim mentality, though, where
Exactly. Right. Is she
you're
exactly.
afraid, and
Exactly.
was it consent? He's saying it's consensual.
Consensual, right.
But what is, but you never know what she never, I couldn't find a response if she agreed with that consensual sex statement with him or not. And I'm like, wait, so she's married, separated, has a boyfriend, and has, you know, and is having consensual relations with the stepdad
Stepdaddy.
too? Are you, you know, so right there it's
This is
like,
confusing,
whoa. That's a lot for One person. And then to have children on top of that, which I can only assume she was primary caregiver to, because he, there wasn't much on David, but other than they were separated. But yeah, so my thing was, and he gets up there, he honest he gets up there and states, she doesn't need the death penalty. He says that he bears some of the guilt in this, and that he misses the kids and hates seeing Susan so broken. Are you serious right now? So you're gonna get up there when everybody knows what you did when she was 16. You're honestly gonna say y'all had consensual sex 2 months before this happened, and you're gonna be so, oh, but I bear some of this guilt, and I just miss those children, and I just can't stand to see Susan so broken. Are you serious? What is wrong with him?
Mind control much?
Right, yeah, and that's what it's exactly what I thought. It was like huge manipulator here. But then he's gonna bear some of the guilt, and oh, look, oh, I'm so torn up too. Oh, shut up, Beverly. Go on.
Yeah,
Gross.
that to me, and that's another question is, was this really consensual, or was this, we know she's been victimized by this person.
Exactly.
So has she gone back into that mode of survival with him?
Right, so she could be,
You know,
and again, we don't
I
know, and
don't
I'm trying
know.
to look at every
No.
angle, but then I'm like, is this
I know.
happening again? And she's like, I don't want my kids to be subjected to him. Look what he did to me. I don't want my children to go through the victimization that I've gone through. I don't know. And
It's
that, and
hard,
then maybe she saw the boyfriend as kind of a light at the end of the tunnel, a possible way out. And then, oh gosh, what am I going to do? I don't, I can look at things 5,000 ways. That's what a over an overanalyzing mind does. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. That really made me mad that he even thought to say all that crap at her sentencing. I was like, what? Are you what? Oh my gosh, gross. But then there sits Susan's mom. I was like,
Come on, honey, let's
golly.
go home for dinner.
I
It's
know,
like, really?
yeah. We gonna have the tuna casserole tonight? I mean,
I mean,
jeez.
golly,
Yeah.
golly,
So she ends up getting life in prison with the possibility of parole in 30 years. Well, 30 years is just about up because she is actually eligible for parole on November 4th, 2024. But now, since Susan has been incarcerated, Susan's had her fair share of trouble, and she has, disciplinary actions against her. There's been drug use while she's been there. She's been in some altercations with other inmates, but the biggest one being that Susan was originally incarcerated in the administrative segregation unit in the Camille Griffin Graham Correctional Institute in Columbia, South Carolina. Well, she had to be moved because two correctional officers were charged with having sex with her. So she had to be moved to the Leith Correctional Institute in Greenwood, South Carolina. Now, I still, and I'm sure this is a very understaffed profession, I believe female guards should be with female inmates and male guards should be with male inmates, because a lot of these back and forth, and it can be either way, female guard, male guard, whatever. But the opportunity lessens when you have the same gender with the same gendered inmates. So that confuses me. But again, I have no doubt that this is a understaffed profession. So the two that were convicted, one was a 50-year-old prison guard, Houston Cagle, and he got 3 months in jail for it. And the other was a prison captain. Ew. And his name, get this, his name is Alfred Rowe. And I'm like, do you think his nickname was Alfredo?
Probably.
I
I think so too.
I was like, Alfred wrote, are you kidding? I'm like, that's Alfredo.
Yeah.
but he got 5 years probation. I don't know if there were plea deals and one was like, I'll take 3 years in jail, be done. And the other's like, I can't go to jail. I'm a prison captain. Are you serious?
One of them lost his position. I mean, he was fired. He lost his pension and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can't imagine because they were both, you know, they weren't new to the,
profession.
To the profession. So they have years in it and to lose all of that. And all for what? Good Lord.
Well, they said that she was very manipulative.
Well, and she could, and I mean, I've heard this is not from self knowing, but I heard when you get into prison, it changes people. You know.
Yeah, I guess.
Again, I have not been in prison. For people who know me, listening, I've not even been in a county jail for longer than 72 hours. No, I've not been in at all. But
you know the old saying, if you can't be with the one you love the one you're with.
Love the one you're with, I guess. Yeah.
There you go.
But
so,
what, I mean, is it the orange jumpsuits? What?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I don't know. It's something to laugh at, but I'm just like, of all the most unromantic places to be at, prison? Yeah. Really?
You'll be amazed at how many guards and inmates end up together.
Oh, yeah, and both ways. It's amazing. Like both. Yeah.
Female guards watching men.
Yep.
I
know. And I'm just like, what is it? I don't know. The stripes? You know.
Is it knowing where they're always at? I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know? It's the best relationship. You know where they're at every day. Mm-hmm. But Susan Smith did write a letter in 2015 to the state. And she said, I'm not the monster society thinks I am. Mm-hmm. I am far from it. Something went very wrong that night, and I was not myself. This was not planned. Now, you got to believe part of this is she's trying to remove herself from all of the trouble that she's been in.
Sure.
You know, she's trying to keep a clean record for 5 or 6 years before she comes up for parole because they take all that into consideration. And you know, even now she works as a ward keeper's assistant, and that's just somebody that's responsible for day-to-day operations. So I'm going to say it's probably like an administrative assistant, you know,
probably,
obviously a lot of limitations, and that she interacts sparingly with other guards and inmates, which is probably for the best. But so she's trying to keep clean, you know, stay out of trouble in prison.
Sure.
But I thought it was interesting that in 2015, 20 years later, I can't do math real quick, but 20 years later, she decides
she was now to write
a letter.
Yeah. Well, and it bothers me that she said it wasn't planned.
Right.
Well, girl, you took to the ramp. You pulled. Mm-hmm. You knew enough to pull that brake, and you knew enough to get out, and you knew enough to release the brake.
Well, right.
And you knew enough to lie and lie and lie and spend police resources and people out here looking in the tall grass and everything else. So, I mean, you know, you can't minimize it. You can't say, okay, I mean, I did it, but I didn't plan it.
Right. I mean, I didn't know it would hurt them.
Right. Self-preservation. We see it so many times in these cases. So,
I mean,
she's coming up for parole. I don't know if she'll get it.
I would think the possibility of her parole is going to be so low. Like, you know, I mean, maybe it gives her something to work toward while she's in prison. Oh, if I can do this, maybe this.
Sure.
But, you know, what's going to happen if they deny it? Which I'm sure, I don't know. I don't know if they will or not. I think a lot of times, too, they're harsher on women in cases like this. Will she, won't she? We'll have to keep an eye on it. And in 2024, November, we'll give an update on what happens. I mean, the way time flies, it'll be here before we know it.
I know, right?
I mean, just a little over 3 years away. But, all right, Erin, anything else you want to add to that onion?
No.
I know. It was like, I forgot. There is so little. Oh, my gosh, you know.
I know.
Little babies. But so that is the onion. That's the layers on Susan Smith. And if you all have anything else you want to add to it, please feel free to reach out to us, comment, on Instagram. Oh, I have an update, Erin.
Okay.
We did a poll on Rice Krispie
Yes.
treats.
Yes.
People like Rice Krispie treats. I'm sorry.
I heard they didn't,
No,
so
they do.
yeah. I don't
You
know
are
about, yeah.
outnumbered, my friend.
Ugh. Well,
Rice
y'all can
Krispie
have
treats all day. Yeah.
you can have mine then.
More
I'll
for
share.
me. That's fine.
Yep, that's fine. You guys can have them.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, and
Yeah.
thanks to everybody who participated and voted. We really appreciate it. We think of random things to have discussions on and take polls about. So always be on the lookout because you never know when the next one will show up.
That's right.
Are you team? Oh gosh, what is it on Friends? Rachel or,
Ross, I think.
yeah.
Is that
Well,
right?
Rachel. No, who was Courtney Cox's character?
Oh, Monica.
Monica. Rachel or Monica?
Oh, okay.
I'm
Well,
team Phoebe.
I didn't really watch it
I
that,
didn't watch the show, so I don't
no.
know. I just know the characters' names.
Oh, yeah, me too.
All right, so for next week, we have
Oh, yeah.
kind of a more interesting, I think,
Yep.
case that we're going to cover. So this is actually available on Hulu. The name of the documentary is The Housewife and the Hustler. And this is about Erica Jayne and Tom Girardi. So, Erin, give a little synopsis here.
Well, Erica Jayne, if you watch the Real Housewives franchise, she's the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She was a cocktail waitress and she met Tom. And she is now 50 years old and Tom is 82. So there's a significant age difference there.
Little
They've
bit.
been Yep, they've been married for 20 years, and the name Tom Girardi may sound familiar because it was he was the attorney in the Erin Brockovich,
Yes.
that whole thing. So yeah, so this is really good because Erica has, after 21 years of marriage, has filed for divorce.
Erica Jane, yes,
Yes,
not
Eric and
me.
Eric, right? Erica Girardi and Erica Jayne, her what would you call it? Like her alter ego is Erica Jayne. And she has songs out and plays at nightclubs and stuff like that. So
Right, yes.
they're the same person. It's just we say Erica Jayne because everybody kind of knows her more professionally that way.
Right, yeah.
But Erica Girardi is her last name, with Tom. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, but so now it's coming out. Some shady stuff's going down.
Big time. Big time,
So
yeah.
I think you guys will like, and I've been watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, so I can, she's been talking about this upcoming divorce and stuff, so I can kind of fill in the blanks a little bit about what she's saying.
Yeah, because I don't watch that show, so
Yeah,
that's
I do.
all you.
I know.
I can't. It's too much drama. I'm
Yeah.
good. So again, that's called
Well,
The Housewife and the Hustler. It's available on YouTube and it's like an hour long.
it's on Hulu and it just came out like last week, so
Yeah,
it's an easy
that's it.
watch. It's an
Yep.
easy watch, so
Yeah. And if you don't have Hulu, you can DM me. I'll give you my sign in. I'm just kidding. I won't do that.
yeah
But
nope
go get the free trial. You can get like a 7-day
Or
free trial.
listen to our podcast and we'll fill you in.
Exactly. That too. Yes.
Yeah,
Thank you, Erin.
if you don't want to watch, that's okay. We'll
That's
watch for
fine.
you.
Exactly. Because we like to do those things.
That's right. So there you
All
go.
right. All right. Well, awesome. Well, again, thank you everybody for listening. If you have a comment, a question, please feel free to contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Make sure to like and subscribe and follow and leave a comment. We really appreciate it and tell your friends. And so take care, stay safe, and keep peeling back those layers of true crime. And we'll see you next week. Bye, Erin.
Bye, Erica.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.